In Matthew 26, it says this. You don't have to turn. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." In his last meal before the crucifixion, Jesus instituted what we are observing this morning. He instituted what we call the Lord's Supper. Some people call it communion. Some people call it the Eucharist. Jesus was remembering at that Passover meal, he was remembering the past salvation of God, but at the same time, he was looking forward to the future, to what God was going to do. Jesus said, "I'll not drink of it again until I drink it with you new in the kingdom." So he was looking forward to that time when salvation, God's salvation, would be complete and they would be together again in the kingdom. When Jesus ate this Passover meal with his disciples, he was bringing a new meaning, a fulfillment of the meal from what they had known before. He was identifying the bread as his own body. He was identifying the wine at that meal with his own blood. And clearly, Jesus was identifying himself as the sacrificial lamb that would be offered for their forgiveness. And by doing that, Jesus is identifying his own death as the means by which all men could have judgment pass over them and be delivered from the penalty of sins. He is our only hope for forgiveness. He is our only hope for such a deliverance from sin. And so when we take from this table in a few minutes, we're to remember the salvation. The salvation that's been freely given to us. And at the same time as we do it, we are proclaiming that the world's not seen the last of Jesus. That our salvation will be complete when he comes back at that second advent. I was thinking this week about the three terms that are used to describe this. We refer to it most often as the Lord's Supper, and so it is, because it is the supper of our Lord, simply because nobody else could prepare this for us other than him. No one could provide for us what these elements of the table represent to us. The sacrifice that was made for the forgiveness of our sins, for the justification of our soul, the declaration that we are made right with God, not as in any merit of our own, but solely by the blood of the Lamb. As Isaiah prophesied, Jesus is the suffering servant, the servant who for the joy set before him, prepared for us by offering his own life on that cross. He prepared for us an abundance, an eternity of life that's found only in him. And so when we take from this table in a minute, we're to remember that we are received from him something that we could have never provided on our own. But some people also refer to it as communion, and so it is. When we take from the table, we're also uniting ourselves with him, and we're uniting ourselves with one another. That's a truth that was not missed by the Apostle Paul. In his letter to the Corinthians, he was addressing this issue that had come up at the church in Corinth about whether they could, you know, eat from the Lord's Supper table and then at the same time eat meat that had been sacrificed to some idol. And Paul is addressing that in 1 Corinthians 10. And when he says, "Is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ?" Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? Since there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of one bread. Look at the nation Israel. Are not those who eat the sacrifices sharers in the altar? And then he says, what do I mean then? That a thing sacrificed to idols is anything, or that an idol is anything? No. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to become sharers in demons. What he's saying is that when you take from the Lord's table, you're communing with the Lord, and we're communing with one another. When you sit down to eat, you're sharing something together with one another. And so the Lord's Supper, because it is exactly the supper of our Lord, because nobody else could provide what the table represents to us other than him. And it's communion because we're sitting around together taking it, and we're uniting ourselves and identifying ourselves as followers of Jesus, and we're identifying ourselves as a community of believers who follow him. We belong to one another. It's also called the Eucharist. And most likely it's called that because Jesus thanked God for the bread and then the cup. But it's not hard to imagine that it's a Eucharist for us, because the word means thanksgiving. And so it's a thanksgiving for us because of the gratitude we feel for what Christ accomplished on the cross, for what he's done for us. And we ought to demonstrate a giving of thanks to him as we take this and actually pray that giving of thanks to him as we take from these elements out of gratitude. So what we're about to do, as our gentlemen gather in the back who are going to help me with this, what we're about to do is to observe the Lord's Supper, because Jesus himself has served us a feast of life that we could have not prepared for ourselves. What we're going to do is observe communion, because we're going to demonstrate that we're united with Christ as his followers, and we're going to demonstrate that we're sharing a meal together, we belong to one another, and we're going to observe Eucharist in that we're going to give thanks for what God has done. Let's bow before the Lord. Father, we pray that as we take from this table that we'll be honoring of you. That our thoughts and our hearts will be remembering that we owe you, for you have withheld nothing from us. You sent your own Son to pay the penalty for our sins. And for the joy set before him, he fulfilled that mission. By the power of your resurrection of him, we then have assurance that because of our faith in him, we too will be resurrected. And so, Father, we have much to be grateful for this morning. And I pray, Father, that you'll find on our heart that we take no merit for this, but we see in this, it's all about you, and it's about your grace and about your love for us. May we remember in such a way that we'll honor you this morning. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to ask the gentlemen to come forward, and let me just give one little note here to you as we get ready to take this. And Joe, if maybe you and Harold will just take the cover off of the thing for me there. Somebody take the cover off. The rest of you can just have a seat here. I'm trying to pull this thing off of me. If you are here this morning and you're not actually a member of our church, if you're a baptized believer then in the Lord Jesus, then we would invite you to take this with us. You do not receive salvation because you take a little piece of bread and a little bit of grape juice out of a cup. Our salvation comes by God's grace through our faith in him. We do this because of that faith, as we remember what's been done. And so we'd invite you, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus, a follower of his, been immersed, then we invite you to partake of this with us. Kiddos that are here who have not received Christ into their life, it does nothing for them to take from this table. So parents, we would just ask you to, as the elements come, just to let that pass by them. And there's no need for them to take from it. All right? Very good.